Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached America Health Crisis. This is Paulette Young speaking. I'm your host tonight, and we're also going to hear from a special guest, Stephanie Nevis. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. You'll pronounce it right if I said it wrong, and I apologize. And we're also going to be joined by Phyllis McNeil and Selena Lindsay, and there may be a few others, but they'll be the main ones speaking on tonight's broadcast. We're talking about mental illness in the prison. When a person has mental illness and commit a crime, why are they placed in our jails and prisons? How can this cycle of imprisonment be stopped? Do the laws need to be changed? Are you aware that a lot of mentally ill prisoners are placed in solitary confinement? Why is there a huge injustice being done to the mentally ill? Why are the mentally ill people treated less than human here in the United States prison? Another hot topic tonight, I'm your host, Paulette Young. Our special guest is Stephanie Nevis. She has quite a huge story to highlight, and she'll tell you where you can listen to the her documentary of her son. She'll give that information out. So we're gonna they're gonna share what's wrong with our present system. I know there're gonna be quite a few people on the line, so I may can't. If you have 1,000 people, you can't of course listen to 1,000. So the ones that I highlight, they will go first. If there's questions when they're talking, you're welcome to some of the other listening audience. You're welcome to contribute that way. Okay, Stephanie Nevis, I'd like for you to introduce yourself and for you to go ahead and speak first.
Well, first I'd like to thank you, Paulette, for having me on the show, and along with the founder of Straight Talk, Phyllis McNeil, who I've been a part of for many years. Just recently, KCET did a very wonderful job with a documentary of my son and myself going through exactly what the topic is tonight, mental illness and the jail system. My son was classified as a million-dollar inmate, and that reason being is because to house a person that does not have a mental illness is no more than $100 a day, whereas to house a person with mental illness is maybe, I would guess, $675 per day. And with my son being labeled a million-dollar inmate, that just goes to show you, due to his bipolar paranoid schizophrenia, that he was always doing things that he wasn't even aware of that he was doing. For instance, my son went to prison 5 years ago for robbing McDonald's, and he did not rob McDonald's. My son had $97 in his pocket, and when the police came in and asked him, was he armed, he said, yes, I have a hammer in my pants, but it's under 5 T-shirts. And he went to prison anyway. Once a person goes to prison, male or female, and they are already diagnosed and they have the record that this person does have a mental disorder, and they name what the mental disorders are and also type of medications that they were receiving and should be receiving. The only thing about it is, since it is not a hospital but a jail or a prison, even though you have records showing that this person has a mental disability, they have the right to refuse the medication, which most of them do because they have been living on the street self-medicating with illegal drugs. And they also have this little voice in their ear at all times telling them, you're just like everyone else. there's nothing wrong with you. You don't need to be on psychotic medication. People are trying to make you think you're crazy, and you're no different from anyone else. So it's always that devil sitting on the side that's feeding him that information, or her, that information that makes them believe that they are just like anyone else that is walking the street. So you also have to understand that you're dealing with a whole lot of stuff when it comes to dealing with a person like my son, who is bipolar, paranoid, schizophrenic. If you would like to, I would suggest that you Google Out of Bounds, KCET, the story of Antonio Carrion. My son was the country's best wide receiver in high school and was going to the NFL. Instead, my son ended up with a disability that he didn't even know what was wrong with him. So, of course, he's not going to understand what is happening to him.
Wow.
And it's not good at all. And it takes an act of Congress to get a person in jail. For instance, my son, I joined up and teamed up with NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness, so I can learn more about what is going on with inmates that have a mental disability and the jail system and how it is failing them and why. And I have been doing volunteer work for NAMI for quite some time now so I can help the next person. And even though I was always submitting the proper paperwork to the proper people in the prison system, meaning the doctors that are over the middle part of the jail, and also there are certain courts that they go to as well, which is Division 95 here in Los Angeles, and that's for the mentally ill. I could not understand how a judge finally, seeing that everything that I had been writing for years, because each and every time my son went to jail, which has been numerous times, and it's always been for nothing, and then they release them at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and they have no money, nowhere to go, but back to where they came from. So the whole system is broken. And the only way to fix the system is to have someone that is not only book smart and trained in this area, but also someone that has walked the walk, talked the talk, and learned from a book. You have to know the inside to the outside to be able to understand why the system is broken. And I see it, I've lived it for many years, and finally got my son to the place that he needs to be now, where he is receiving excellent treatment and has also learned what his mental disability is, why, and where it comes from. Something that you're not taught in jail or prison. In jail or prison, you're just another number. They're not there to rehabilitate. They're not there to guide you along the way to show you to a better life. You're there to be housed as an inmate and not have a care in the world about taking medication or not, even though your records show that you have a severe mental illness. And you're put with regular population. And regular populations and a person that is mentally ill does not go together well at all. Because that person that is usually mentally ill is going to end up with a lot of problems from other inmates. Or the mentally ill person is not going to understand where another inmate is coming from and may hurt them and not do it maliciously, but because he doesn't understand. So there's a whole lot that needs to be fixed with this system. Otherwise, we're going to have a whole lot of million-dollar inmates, which I'm sure we already do.
Wow.
recently,
wow,
I was just asked to join the Loyola Marymount Law Forum, and at that forum, I was the only person there that had nothing to do with law enforcement. And I was asked to speak. And once I finished speaking, I had so many questions thrown at me, and it was unbelievable. It was beautiful. And it showed that they are willing to listen. They want to know. They see. It's starting to come under fire, where it's time we fix this and do something about it. And now, hey, from this point on, I will be a part of the Permanent Steering Committee meetings on the Office of Diversion and Reentry. So with me being there and other people like me, because I know there has to be more people like me that are willing to fight. There has to be. Don't,
yes,
stay silent.
Is. I think part
do
of
not
the
stay
problem
silent.
Is there's
let
not
your
enough
voice
parents
be heard.
Yeah.
And do whatever it takes to get out there,
mm-hmm,
and save someone's life the way I did my son, and the way the documentary Out of Bounds has done for so many people that did not understand what happened to their child along the way, whether they be teenagers or adults. My son is 44 years old, but he's still mine, and he's all I've got. And I'm going to do everything in my power. But I never gave up. You do not give up. It's not an option. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Anyone in the audience want to ask Stephanie a question? If not, I'm going to go ahead and hear from Phyllis McNeil. Phyllis, you're still on the line?
Yes, somebody needs to mute their phone.
Yeah, I can't figure out which. I'm on the board, but I can't figure out who it is. But go ahead. I don't want to mute everybody off of this.
Okay.
And I did get some numbers, but now it's clear. I don't know why, but it's clear on my end.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I come from a law enforcement background. I worked inside, and I worked on parole, and I worked with mental illness adults and youth. And we need to really take a look, because there's a lot of youth and a lot of adults are not getting the proper care, like Stephanie say, once they get in there or once they get released, if they're not in there and get treatment. Because when you release them on parole, there's very little treatment, you know, for them to get on their right medication. You don't want the client to be over-medicated or under-medicated. You want to be right at the right type of psychotropic medication and diagnosed right so they could get the treatment that they need. You know, the most important thing I see is be stabilized on their medication. They need to be released into a treatment center, or if they have a home to go to, but they need ongoing treatment. You know, sometimes while they're incarcerated, they're not getting any treatment. So we need to really fix our broken system, because we're just warehousing these people like animals, and we shouldn't do that. No one should have the heart to do that. These people are very, very intelligent people once they get stabilized on their medication and take it regularly. They can live like regular people in our community.
Yes, like I want to go back to, and I wanted Stephanie to highlight, what was your son like before all this took place? What was he like in high school?
Sorry, what was the question?
What was your son Antonio like when he was in high school? I would like
Antonio
for you to tell the audience his success.
Antonio was very well loved. Antonio has so many dedicated friends, and he's always been a part of sports. I don't care whether it be baseball, basketball, or football, but he was very well known because he's played sports ever since T-ball at 4 years old up until high school. Football is where he excelled. So Antonio Carrion has.
Yeah. He share the audience that how far he excelled with football in high school.
I'm sorry?
Share with the audience how far he went in high school with football.
Oh, Antonio went all the way in high school. Antonio was a senior in high school, being drafted and also offered many scholarships. And he wanted to continue school before straight just going to... He always believed that you should have something to fall back on, because you never know when a football player may get hurt, you know. So he wanted to continue school instead of just going straight through the draft, believe it or not. And so he chose to go to San Diego State. Unfortunately, he didn't make it there, because during this time, my daughter, his little sister, passed away at the age of 14 in his arms. And that's when we found out that he carried the gene of schizophrenia from his father's side of the family because of his sister's death, her in his arms. It triggered that gene of schizophrenia that no one ever knew lay dormant in his body. And that's where he went off track and had gone to San Diego, had went with the coach to go tour the school, and was ready gung-ho to go, and then this happened, unfortunately, with my daughter, Danielle, and it took Tonio off his path in the worst way possible. I mean, can you imagine one day being, you know, the nation's, the country's best wide receiver to not knowing what just happened to you and why everything in your life just changed and you not understanding it? You don't know what happened. You know, I'm going to give you an example, and I hope everyone can understand this. I do work at a rescue center, and we had a dog, Zoe. Zoe was the most lovable, wonderful dog you could ever, ever want. And Zoe came to us blind. And we found out that Zoe actually was born with no eyeballs. And people thought that it was such a sad story. But after you speak to them and say the way I would word it, and I hope you understand how I'm connecting this to my son, I said, would you rather Zoe be 6 years old and the lights go out? Or would you rather Zoe be born this way and this is what she knows? And she's happy, and she plays with everybody. So I'm connecting those two because it is actually meaning the same thing. My son was 18 years old, leading a normal 18-year-old life, but in the limelight of high school. And then all of a sudden, it was like the lights went out. And who's going to understand that? How do you understand that? You don't. And when no one in your family has ever witnessed anything like this, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening, because it's never happened to anyone that you have lived with. So I hope you understand the comparison of what I just did, because after the age of 19, my son was no longer the country's best wide receiver. I hope that helped you and answered your question, Paulette.
Yes, it does. so that I just wanted other people, the listening audience, to understand what took place in your circumstance, and it probably takes place in not just yours, but hundreds or thousands more people. These very people that
there are many families.
Son was.
There are many families that. Oh, I'm sorry.
And then for this to happen, I'm positive there's lots because it's already recorded approximately 2 million people go to jail that have mental illness. So and they might have sold a dollar bag of potato chips, and they're being put in the wrong place. And once they go into the jails or prison, if they're in the wrong place, there's no treatment. And they said it's recorded that they get worse. They don't get better. And what I'm glad that you found that NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, because they are doing tremendous good work in addressing this very issue that we're talking about. Okay, I want to put Selena Lindsay. Are you still on the line?
Yes, and I wanted to add a little bit on to so that those that are listening are really clear as to who we're talking about. NAMI is, again, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and they are the nation's largest. And anybody that's interested in finding out what they do, you can go to their website, which is www.nami.org, and they are a grassroots mental health organization. And another person that I know over there, his name is Roy Brown. Roy Brown sits on the board. He also works with veterans. He's one of the chief people in early on helped formulate a lot of what it is that they do. And some of which, this is what they say, is very important that you find a therapist for you, somebody that can work specifically with each individual, specialized problem. Some of the new stuff that's happening is, for instance, in Juliet, which is in Chicago, one of the new things that's going on, because some of the stuff that we've been over and over again, talking about schizophrenic, bipolar, behavioral problems, and how they keep them isolated and heavily medicated. And in one particular case they had there, a person had been 26 years in restrictive housing and solitary confinement, and he was having hallucinations and self-mutilation, along with he tried to commit suicide several times. Whatever. What happened in basically recently was 12,000 inmates, they sued the entire state. And so what has now happened is, this is just one, which is just a drop in the bucket. They sued the entire state, 12,000 inmates, and now it's just a little bit better. According to federal data, they're finally doing something by taking the worst of them out and placing them in an institution. And in fact, they had 12,000 of them that they have basically said they're all mentally ill. And they finally took out 765. In terms of youth detention, there are a few things going on. One of the guys that I recommend that people go and kind of take a look at, you can follow this person on Twitter. His name is Herman, C.T. Herman, which is Christine. And basically she's another one that has a book on mental illness in the prison. And some of the things that they're doing, and the culture of abuse, and how we as individuals on the outside can serve as mentors for others. That's a very interesting thing. Again, her name is Christine Herman, and you can follow her on Twitter at CT Herman. Another company that I recommend that you take a look at is called MHA, which is Mental Health America. And they make some just staggering statements because what they're basically saying is 1.2 million live and sit in jail. And mostly they have committed, just as Phyllis and some of the others have said, low-key offenses, such as jaywalking, disorderly contact, or just trespassing. And some of the worst states, if you want to know who they are, I'll give you a quick 1 through 10. North Carolina, Nevada, Tennessee, Idaho, Florida, Georgia, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and California. And some of what Mental Health America is recommending, number one is care, not correction. They have four big recommendations, which is one, stop arresting people, invest in services, ensure continuity of care, and to start early. You know, prevention of incarceration has to start early, and it also means we have to, because some of the ones that get really, really knocked around, in which, you know, she talked about some of these things with her son, is anybody that is different or, you know, they have different kinds of symptoms going on, then they really, really get treated bad. And also, too, our LGBT community. They get a bad end of the stick because, obviously, their sexual agenda is something a little different than ours, and they're, you know, they're treated like dogs, all of them. And the police department, in fact, in Los Angeles, has just made a new thing. In fact, since we talked about this in our first show, one of the new changes that suddenly they're looking into some of what they're doing, because one city after another is starting to come under fire. And as far as I'm concerned, it's about time that something happened, because the way that they're treating these people is just sickening. It's absolutely sickening that they abuse these people, and they actually take their mental illness out on them. And these are just, you know, partial kinds of things that go on in this. And in addition to that, we have people that have various different types of mental illness, such as alcohol and drug addiction, which also creates some of the same stuff that we're talking about, which is, you know, schizophrenia. And another good place to take a look at some of that would be www.mdmaj.com. And this is sort of an exchange where they talk a great deal about what we're talking about when we talk about schizophrenia, because that's a really, really big supermarket. And there are, I'd like to say also, to resources. And one of the main resources I'd like to make people on the air really aware of, number one, is, because they don't think that much about it, but a lot goes on inside of the prison in terms of suicide. Also on the outside here, because they have nowhere to turn to, and they're abused by everybody. And so if you know someone that needs some help, please feel free to call a suicide prevention number, or just dial 951-686-HELP, or 4357 would be the call letters instead of HELP. The call is free, and they help parents, men, women, and older adults with some of the problems, because it is a 360 problem going on out there. And there are lots of different states which are starting, just starting a little bit, you know, 1% in starting to do something about this tremendous problem inside of our prisons. There are a number of different programs. I hate to say no programs, but in terms of the quantitative numbers that they're dealing with people that have problems, it's just about there, where there's not much available. And it's a very, very difficult thing to get any kind of a turnaround for, whether it's youth or an adult. And something new which is coming forth in California, which I certainly for one will be glad to see, is they're working on the conservatorship law, because a lot of people that are mentally ill One of the things, if they have the ability to say no, when help comes along, they don't want to go, they don't have to. And it's just one of those gateway systems that they're in and they're out. But something new is coming for parents, and it will give us ability with some of our loved ones to immediately to be able to take command so that they can sort of get out of that rotational system. If you think they need to be there, then you can say don't let them out, because something has to be done, because basically anybody in addition to being in prison, in addition to youth, once they become basically mentally ill, then we're dealing with a rotational system that just keeps rotating them in and out of doors, and they do nothing for them. They're not getting medicated. They're not being properly handled. And also, too, you know, quantitative data regarding mental illness is being lost, because we have a lot of children and families that have tremendous problems. They have problems just because they have a loved one that's in prison. And being abused in this mannerism, what I call warehousing, flesh warehousing, that's what they're doing. And again, this stuff has to stop. They've got to just stop arresting people, because of this is a problem that is on a higher level. And when you're taking people and putting them in prison for simply jaywalking or disorderly conduct, or just as she said, her son was doing nothing. He was in McDonald's. And this is a way we have to understand, too, that this is a way that the state makes money. An officer in prison makes $80,000. And so it is a horrible money system.
And the other
and it
thing
is not designed for correction.
Like, how do you, you know, police officers are going to have to be trained, you know, staffing in the prisons to be trained. It's almost like there needs to be massive training. I don't know if anybody remembers. I know everyone remembers who Angela Davis is. When they put her in prison during that period that she was there, she came out and said what they were doing to the prisoners. They were shooting them up with medications that made them walk around like zombies. How many of those people were mentally ill? And she said they drugged them, put them in solitary confinement, kept them all drugged up, Thorazine, and I forgot all the different things. And I don't even think the world paid attention back then, because way back, and that's many, many years ago, she talked about it. She talked about what was happening in the prison. And how
if I can piggyback on that, I'd like to add that I knew that. And because I really studied her, she was someone that I admired. And what she's saying is absolutely correct.
Before you go on, state your name so people know who you are. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, this is Stephanie Nieves?
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
And I do closely identify with that, because you're absolutely right. Like I said earlier, you know, you're not, you're warehoused. You're not taught about what is happening or what has happened to you. You know, you're not, they don't let you know what schizophrenia means, what it means to be bipolar, what it means to be, have ADHD, or, you know, none of that. And even though you go in there with records that says that you have a mental disability and states what the mental disability is, and they send you to their doctors, and the doctors even say an agreeance with what your records say and tell you you need to come to medication line at such time, they're not going to show up. The majority of them are not going to show up, and you cannot make them take their medication in jail or in prison.
Yeah, but even though you can't make them, they made back then. That was before these laws changed.
I'm sorry, Stephanie Nieves again. And that's when they again were doing what we as inmates call the Thorazine shuffle.
Right.
Angela was absolutely right about that. They were shooting them up with Thorazine, and we called it the Thorazine shuffle, and they walked around like mummies.
Right.
It was like something out of a movie.
I'm going to see what you're saying with that and podcast for that. How they're doing our children when it comes to school, the kid that can't sit still, medicate them, make them zombies. And the amount of medicine that's given today is unbelievable. And they have reports that it destroys, because they're in early development, the brain still development, that it destroys it part of the way. They medicate them. The teachers want them medicated. How many went through maybe behavioral therapy, something else besides drugging them up and making them like zombies too? These are our kids.
This is Phyllis from Straight Talk. You want Cardio to say something? Since he was in solitary for 20 years with the mental illness inmates that he saw around in his area. And Arcardio, are you still on the line? Arcardio, I guess he got off the line. You know, it's a lot of people in the prison system
no,
haven't even been.
I'm here.
Okay, why don't you talk about the confinement when you were in there? What kind of mental illness people did you see?
Yeah, and is it, you were in there for like solitary confinement 20 years?
Yeah, 20 years.
Am I correct on that?
Yeah, and what Stephanie said was right on the phone.
What's wrong with your phone, Cardio?
The people that did this.
Yeah, but it's not clear for some reason.
Your phone is not clear, Cardio. Can you make your phone clear?
Or put your.
I was trying to. But I don't know what the deal is. It was not even coming in too. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay, get off the speaker then.
Yeah, it's off. The speaker's not on.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is.
Well, that's okay. I'll just continue to talk. This is Phyllis from Straight Talk. It's a lot of those inmates in there. Some are not even diagnosed as mental illness, and they have mental illness. So that's another problem that we have in our prison system. Sometimes that's why we have a lot of issues, problems in there with the other inmates, because sometimes, you know, you might be mental illness on the streets or inside jail, but never been diagnosed. You know, that's another problem I see. Are being misdiagnosed as well.
It's almost like it, when you enter the prison or jail system, they should have a, what do you call it, like when a doctor, you go see them, they have to check off different things so they can see at least part of the problem. It seems like,
yeah,
it
like
be
a complete physical.
Once
a complete
they incarcerate
physical.
You or book you, there should be some sheet that these questions have to be answered. So you'll know where the patient or client should be versus just throw them all in, throw them all together.
Yes. Yes, so they should have an assessment, a mental health assessment as,
right,
as well as a health medical assessment too.
Yes. So that they're, because unless they're acting very crazy like, they're not going to do that kind of assessment. And because that's not standard procedure. Yes.
Well, that's what they need, because there's a lot of them in there undiagnosed. That's why some of them keep going in and out that prison door or that jail door. You know, we got a lot of people walking around in today's society, whether they be youth, adults, or either suffering from depression and whatnot. They're killing themselves. There's a lot of kids, young kids are taking their life, and their parents don't even know they're having some type of mental illness. And they're living under their roof. So just think what goes on inside prison.
I think what there needs to be, as this to me is another solution is the mental first aid class. Just like they make people in the workplace and different places take a basic CPR first aid, they need to take a basic mental first aid class. There's just not many of those classes around, and then you got to search for who's having one. It shouldn't be that way. It needs to be where we're totally aware versus not being aware.
They used to have the PAT team.
I can recognize if I have a 911 emergency for physical things, but no one's trained to recognize that you have a 911 emergency, a mental thing.
They used to have the PAT team, the PET team, that comes out with the police officers when they were having a mental health crisis when I was working as a parole agent on the streets. They used to call it a PAT team. But I haven't heard of those people coming out doing an evaluation with the police officer to determine if this person is having some type of mental health crisis.
Stephanie
right.
Carrion speaking. Phyllis, I've just done that not long ago. So, yes, the PET team is still active. I know from hands-on experience and recent experience, the PET team is still active. They still come out with a doctor that comes on the one that drives the ambulance fire truck thing, and also a police car comes with them, as well as a mental health evaluator. So, yes, Phyllis, you are right. They do still have, the PET team is still accessible. There was also the access team. Them I have not heard anything of in quite some time, because at one time or another I had to use either or, but I haven't heard anything ongoing with the access team. But the PET team is still very much alive. And also, as we speak, they are now teaching the officers of Twin Towers how to work with inmates that have a mental illness, which is something that they hadn't done before. So they are starting, you know, it's a slow process. Everything is always a slow process because you've got so much red tape to go through. But at least I know for a fact that they are starting to do that down at Twin Towers, where it's desperately needed badly. So the officers there are being trained now, which is something that they needed a long time ago. As you go into the county jail, you are given an evaluation, especially if you're going into the county jail and your records state that you do have a mental disability. And the evaluation is just as you said, they ask questions, you check off a box, something like that. And most of the time, all they're wanting really is a paycheck, because they're not checking off the right boxes. And I know that for a fact because of my son. We went to Division 95, which is the Court of Mental Illness, where a doctor speaks to the inmate, and then if the inmate has a parent or someone there on their behalf, they let them know.
Somebody needs to mute their phone. Sorry, Stephanie.
Yeah, go ahead.
And some good information.
And while there, the judge, when he asked my son, Antonio Carrion, when the judge asked Antonio Carrion what the day and date was, and my son could not answer the question and mumbled instead, that's when the judge asked the doctor to step in and take Antonio to the back, speak with Antonio, and then come back out and speak with his mother, because his mother is in court. I have always filed paperwork every time my son has been in jail, so they know I am there and you need to speak to his mother. And so they said the doctor came back to the conclusion that my son was competent. And I said, and you came to that conclusion how? He says, I asked him a question, and the question was, do you know that your brain can turn into mush
if you continue to self-medicate with drugs on the street? I said, and his answer was, he said his answer was very intelligent. So I said, and that was? My son answered, what do you mean my brain is mush? Am I missing something or is something wrong with the doctor?
Something's wrong with the doctor.
And they declared my son, mentally competent.
Wow.
Which meant that once he went back to Twin Towers, at some hour of the morning, 2, 3, 4 o'clock, he's going to be released, and you don't even know it. And you're right back to square one, waiting for him to get arrested again, so you know at least he has a head, a place over his head, a bed, and a meal. So, yes, there is an evaluation, but that evaluation can mean mute. Like it did for us.
We need to start holding these clinicians accountable when they're not really doing the evaluation as they supposed to do the evaluation on those inmates in there. And another thing that could be a solution, we need more mental health treatments in the community where they don't have to go to prison or jail. We need more facilities, mental health facilities, that are treatment-oriented, not just to throw medication, but going to help and work with these mental health clients, you know, for a long period of time. Because sometimes it takes a while to get yourself back together once you suffer from mental illness, and especially if you suffer from a long time. So 30 days, 90
exactly.
days, it's not going to get it, you know.
Think of, there's a doctor, Carolyn Curtis. I know she's in the San Francisco area. She's got like self help mental programs. Because I think if I remember the state right, I think it was the state of Wyoming have rural areas where there is no mental facility. Period. There is no help. So she was contacted to be able to at least for a temporarily type fix until you know other help can be used. That one area of Wyoming, they began to use her program because you need something rather than have zero. So what do you think about those type of programs even here?
I know Dr. Curtis. She's really good. She's outstanding. She's a
yes.
member of Fathers and Families Coalition of America, and I'm also a member. She's really good in dealing with the mental health population. Yeah, we need more programs like her. We need her program down here to be a model program.
Right. I mean,
it works.
Using it because they have no facilities, and why not use something like that here, especially for those that may never walk in a treatment center. And if it's working in one place, then it can work here too.
Yeah, we need really caring and genuine people too when they get in treatment. We need them to be compassionate, be understanding, you know, help them. Don't kick them down while they're already down or when they're trying to get up. You know, like Stephanie's son is doing great. Right, Stephanie?
Oh, most definitely. And if it hadn't have been for everything that I have been through, it would have never came to fruition. And Karen Fauché, the producer for KCET, who contacted me out of the clear blue that had heard about my son, did an excellent job at what they did with Out of Bounds in this documentary. It was done very tastefully. And, you know, that being them having such an impact, KCET, because they're the public service announcement for many things, it reached many people. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm trying to let those mothers and fathers know that do not think that because your child is already something's happened that they're different. Do not think that they're crazy, you know, because we don't know if we never, you know, had anyone like that close to us. Try to help them. Ask them questions.
Definitely,
I can see in their eyes. It's gotten to the point where it's been so long for me that I can look into your eyes and see that if you've got something else going on besides what should be going on.
Definitely, because we have how much time left? Can you, 5 minutes, tell them how they can access that documentary that you just mentioned?
Yes, you can go to iTunes and you can, it's called Out of Bounds. And we'll start off with a young man, Antonio Carrion, running on a football field is how it would start. So you just go to iTunes and put in Out of Bounds, or you can put in KCET, Out of Bounds. Either way, they still come up on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you'll see it. 26 minutes of remarkable.
And you can also go to the website for Straight Talk. The clip is on the Straight Talk website. On the second page, it will say, just like Stephanie said, Out of Bounds. You click on it and you'll go right to it easily.
Give your
great
website.
The website that you can go to, like Stephanie said, and if you want to get to it real easy, go to the Straight Talk website, which is www.sfortstraighttforTalkPforprogram.iForIceNforNancyCForCharles.oForOxRForRevelation.gForGod.
Okay, thank you. And then, Selena, are you still on the line? Selena. Hello? You're still on the board, it shows you're still on. Selena Lindsay? Okay, well, I think she's gone. All right, we have exactly 8 minutes left on the program, so if there's anything else you want to say or you would like the audience to be able to have access to, this is the time to do that.
I would just like to say, this is Stephanie, don't throw on the towel. It's never too late. It
and
takes
in
one
this,
to save
yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
right.
Phyllis, yeah. And Phyllis, mental illness can be looked at just like a regular illness, like a medical illness. You know, people label it like you're really crazy, but you're not. Just like any type, like you can have cancer or something, or, you know, some type of medical condition. Let's look at it. It's no different than mental illness. You have some type of condition. It's treatable. Like some medical conditions are treatable. So like Stephanie say, never give up, never throw in the towel and give up on your loved ones.
Right.
And remember, there's a lot of people walking in the community have mental illness. They don't even know it. Look at the little kids and the adults are killing themselves. They're suffering from depression, being bullied. They have some type of mental illness going on, but their family don't even know it. Their loved ones don't even know it. So don't fake it just in the prison and whatnot. It's going on inside, outside in our community. Look at all those people that are shooting up the place. They have some type of mental illness, but it probably was never detected. You know?
Yeah. That's why I'm still a strong believer that there need to be more and more of that mental first aid class. Because that class helps you begin to recognize that there is a problem
mm-hmm.
rather than to ignore it and see if you... If a child fell down, you know how to handle that because that's physical. But if the brain is doing something different, a lot of time people don't recognize it. That, you know, something's wrong.
We don't have any questions?
Are there any questions before we close? It was a great program. I thank you, ladies, for sharing with the public. We had quite a few people listening on the line, more than normal, because this is really a good subject that we all need to be aware of and begin to, I know they got to begin to legislate more and more things to go, you know, to stop people from being just put in prison and not get any help or locked in solidary confinement, as your friend Phyllis had mentioned, the young man that happened to him 20 years in a place where he shouldn't have been. No treatment. It's a wonder he made it out and that he's back in society, but productive now with his life, even through all that he went through. This is something that we all need to be aware of and be diligent about being part of the solution, not the problem, and not ignore it for so many years, even though D'Angelo Davis was the first one that really made the public aware. And at that time, you know, there wasn't anything being done. But at least now you have groups like NAMI and others that is staying behind. We have to do something different. We can no longer just lock people up. And I'd be glad one day when we can no longer just medicate these little kids to get them to have the right behavior. I mean, that's not right. I mean, you make them a prisoner of their own little bodies, and they're little, and they don't have a job. And so, you know, so thank you, and we'll be on the air not till the Monday of the month. That'll be the month of June. That first Monday we'll be on the air again, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Paulette, before we go, can I give Dr. Curtis, Carolyn Curtis, Dr. Curtis' phone number? She does trauma-informed care. She's really good. And her phone number is 916-995-6846. 916-995-6846. She does trauma-informed care. Very good training on mental illness.
Okay, that's Dr. Carolyn Curtis, rather. And that's 916-995-6468?
6846, yes.
Oh, wait. You said 6846.
I did. 916-995-6846.
6846. Okay. Thank you for that. Because there'll be someone listening that needs that information. We'll be on the air again, as I had stated, the first Monday of the month. Thank you. Bye.